Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, I don't know if you know Chris Branch, Lance, the Athletic's Chris Branch.
I never heard of him.
He put a story out. Whose records are lying? Okay? I'm going to name teams, and you tell me if their record is a lie.
Okay.
The Chiefs are 10-1.
That's a lie.
Yeah. This guy says his record for him is 7-4. Okay.
Oh, okay.
8 of their 10 wins.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. That's what they should be in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles. 9-2.
No.
What does he say?
That
record is not a lie.
Yeah.
They're a good football team.
Yeah, I think so.
They're a really good football team. The Lions, 10-1.
No,
he says it's a lie. They should be 11-0. They're the best team in football.
Who did they lose to? Do you remember?
They lost to the Bucks early.
The Bucks got them?
Yeah, I think the Bucks got them.
Nobody can get them.
Yeah, well, I think the Bucks got them in Detroit, remember? Early on?
Yeah, that's right. It was the Bucks.
The 49ers are 5-6. Is that a lie?
No. I mean, unless you want to say they could be even worse, but no, that feels like what they are. Yeah.
Man, they got dismantled yesterday. Dismantled. The Texans are 7-5. Is that a lie?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got them at 5-7. Jeez. 5-7.
What are the games that he's 5-7? I just said it because I'm mad, but
they look more like a 5-7 football team.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's facts.
Look
at the games that Levis and Drake May have put on you. That's a concern.
Yeah. And then finally, the Commanders, they're 7-5.
Now, that feels like what they should be.
He's got them 6-6, but yeah, that's close. Close enough. After their red hot start, they have really cooled off. They lost to the Cowboys yesterday. They couldn't do anything offensively.
No, they look bad. Look really bad. Yeah, Bo Nix is going to win.
Yeah. I like Bo in this one. I liked him before the season. I thought that Sean Payton was the perfect coach for him. Perfect coach for him.
No, yeah. Sean, it was the perfect scenario.
Yeah, yeah. And that matters. Now, Cliff started out gangbusters with Jaden, and that was great, but... You know, but it catches up to Cliff, and right now it's catching up to to Jaden. He did not look good yesterday, man. Mm. So here's CJ. Here is CJ talking about what to do to fix their offensive issues. Here is CJ. He just says, you know what? It's time to work harder. It's time to get back to work, and darn it, we're just going to be better then.
Got to keep practicing and keep playing. I mean, you tell me. I don't know. That's all I know how to do is just practice better, play better, meet better, do everything better, you know. And when it comes out like that, you know, it's not fun, but, you know, it's part of the game, and we'll use it one game out of the year. That'll teach us a lesson. Sadly, we have to learn right now, or it'll teach us in future years. And for me, I'm just, you know, going to use this as a time where I need to look myself in the mirror and get better. So,
He gives all the right answers, and I think he's earnest in his answers as well. I do think something that bothered me yesterday quite a bit, and I'm sure it bothered you too, we just haven't talked about it, was the body language for CJ. It lacked confidence, it lacked leadership,
He had a pouty face.
Yeah, yeah. But not that he was being petulant, because he was just, it was like, yeah, I mean, it really was. It was almost like
when something bad would happen, he would kind of slump and go,
It was like he wasn't handling adversity.
No.
You know, and this is how the measure of a man is how he handles adversity. But, I mean, it's true. The measure of a team, the measure of a man, the measure of whatever you want to say is, how do you handle adversity? It's easy to fly high. When things are going good, you can get on podcasts. We can all smile. We can flip hamburgers and do all this stuff and run around and throw up our H's and get in photo shoots. How do you handle it when you are playing like this? How do you handle it when you have a loss like this? This is a great opportunity for the Texans to show some resolve, for C.J. Stroud to, you know, right now he lacks confidence. The body language is terrible, and not in a petulant way. Once again, he just doesn't look like somebody who has any confidence. It looks like he's easily shaken. How does he get back to it? How does he find it? This could end up being one of the greatest things that's ever happened to him, and ultimately, you know what, John? This might be a good wake-up call for the Texans to maybe stop reading the press clippings, etc., stop believing the hype. This could be a great chance for D'Amico Ryans and the people in that locker room and your quarterback to go through adversity, overcome adversity, and come out better on the other side. It really could be a great opportunity. Or if you're not good at handling adversity, it could end up doing some damage. We'll see.
He doesn't look like that same kind of. I thought the same thing too when he just had frowny face, and it looked like he was petulant pouting. It
on
looked
the
like he
on
was
the bench
down.
After the inter. Oh my
gosh,
really down.
Really down.
But you can't do that, man. You gotta let it go. You're a quarterback. You're the leader. Everyone's looking to you, and that's like CJ cannot do that stuff. And all I could think of was, man, this is like, and they got a pick six, and he got off the bench, and he was trying to shake himself up and like say, okay, everything's fine. But it's like, I don't know, man. Right now, he is really in his own head. You can see it. It's like he's like a major league pitcher who's going through a rough patch and doesn't trust his stuff. You see how he's guiding the football, too? He's not just throwing. He's guiding everything.
No. Well, the second interception looked just like the one with the Lions where he just tried to throw it up
and
as opposed to firing the football or he needed to put a little bit more air under it, but he kind of just short-armed it. And it was like, wow, dude, you can't do that. You gotta put some zip on it. He's trying touch passes when you can't have a touch pass.
Thank God Will Levis didn't come over and big bro him.
Oh,
like, hey,
God,
man, hang in there. It's tough when you have pressure on you. You gotta, you know, you're gonna fight through it. You're better than this. I know you are. Everything's gonna be fine.
Stop taking out on sacks.
Keep your head. Yeah, keep your head up. I mean, Ross Tucker, who's a former offensive lineman who was on the call yesterday, couldn't stop talking.
He was disgusted.
I feel like at least four of these sacks, maybe five, have been on the quarterback. Like,
some of them were.
Some. I don't know if I'd go five.
Could Will Levis have said, hey.
He did walk into a couple.
He did walk into them. Like, hey, CJ, keep your head up. Yeah, just don't run out the back of the end zone. Could he have dropped one of those on him? Hey, man, you're going to be a great player in this league. Don't run out the back of the zone.
You got to be aware of where you are.
Yeah. You'll bounce back from this.
You're
going to
bounce back, CJ.
Yeah.
Keep your head up. Keep your head up, little bro. What if you say keep your head up, little bro?
He can't call him. He can't explicitly say little bro.
Well, he is older, I think.
Sure, but he can't actually say little bro.
You can't say little bro?
That's disrespectful.
Okay.
Keep your head up, bro. Hey, you know what? Don't run out the back of the end zone. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Do you think Caleb Williams sits at home right now like, I can't believe he tried to big bro me. I cannot believe this.
Oh,
losing ass.
Losing to
Caleb
the Titans.
Williams. You mean him, yeah.
Oh, losing
you
to
lost
the Titans. You
Levis.
Lost to the Titans.
You run over here trying to big bro me.
You losing to Will Levis?
Man, stop.
But Will Levis outplayed him. Levis outplayed him.
And that's with, guess what, pressure. Imagine that. The O-line didn't block for him. He still outplayed him.
Is Jeremy Branham right?
No.
About what?
Will Levis? The second coming.
He threw a pick six.
But,
no, that's not right.
Hey, You know what? Look at Will Levis the last couple of games.
Will Levis tried to give the game away again for the third time.
He took awful sacks and bad moments. I mean, he threw a pick six.
Let's not forget the very next. They scored because a tight end caught a little boot action pass and nobody could tackle him for about 80 yards.
Oh,
my
God. That
doesn't seem like it's possible. It's humanly possible.
It was impossible. Are you kidding me? No one is there to stop a tight end?
Well, he's not a – I know that's tight end in name, but Aronquo, how do you say his last name?
Aronquo.
Yeah. He did that as a rook a couple years ago where he was just the fastest dude on the field, and you didn't understand. Just big and fast and outran guys. This has happened before, not necessarily against the Texans, but that guy did that a couple years ago, and I thought to myself, as soon as he caught it,
he can roll.
He can run. I said, he's going to score.
He's like a high 4.4 guy, tight end.
Yeah, he can move, and no one could catch him. Like, Stingley was like, wait a minute, someone's going to tackle him, right? And then Stingley, no one's going to tackle him. So Stingley had to try to get on his horse, but at that point, it was too late. Yeah, Eric Murray was the only one who had a chance, and he missed him.
Eric Murray and Jimmy Ward on covering Calvin Ridley is just, D'Amico, what are we doing?
Why do we always have bad cover-up? Look, Eric Murray's on everybody going deep. Or Jimmy Ward is on somebody. Or Petrie's on Davante Adams. Like, can we at one point the broadcast said, they may need to start, that's my Ross Tucker voice. They may need to start playing, they may need to start traveling
Stingley.
Derek Stingley along with CJ, along with Calvin Ridley. Right. They may have to start traveling. But this is my point, John. Why is D'Amico off the hook for all this stuff? It's like I get all the talk about offense coordinator and play calling and all that. That's pretty standard stuff when your offense struggles. But it's not like other than the sacks, and they fly around and hit everybody. They're very aggressive. But Alshire is going to have a stupid penalty damn near every game. He's going to run in. He's going to friendly fire his own players. He flies in like a torpedo. He's going to hit you and hurt you at some point. It may be his own guy. He had another 15-yard penalty. But why does CJ – I mean, we've got schematically the same thing where teams know how to match up best receivers on worst coverage. That's a schematic issue that D'Amico Ryans needs to be held accountable for by a fan base too. If you want to hold guys accountable on social media – what is D'Amico doing? What is the defensive play call? Why is it such bad? Why are we getting outflanked by the best receivers on the worst coverage? That shouldn't happen. Why aren't we seeing more traveling with what Belichick would do? Don't let the best player beat you.
Make them play left-handed.
Yes, he would scheme to take away your best option and make you learn how to do it. We don't do that at all. Team doesn't do that.
It looks like the Texans try to beat you like in the first 2 seconds of a play on defense with their pass rush and their pressure. And if they don't do that, they're toast because they can't hold up in the back.
Yep. All right, let's break it here. Man, we got to talk a little bit about this college football weekend. I want to share a stat with you that is
SEC.
Incredible.
SEC.
But first, I want to share John Daspit with you.
John Daspit is helping us get to Selvin Young and Vince Young, I think, are going to come on the show tomorrow with John and Dell at about 9:15 to talk about Texas A&M and Texas. It's going to be a huge game coming up. And John Daspit helped line that up. He's good friends with Selvin. He does a lot of different charitable endeavors with Selvin Young in the community. And John, of course, went to Texas, got 2 degrees there, went and got his law degree at University of Houston. He's from here in high school. Like, John is John's Texas. That's what he is. He's got locations all over the state of Texas. He's a personal injury lawyer who really looks out for the small guy. And no one else is going to look out for you. And the insurance companies are the big guy. They're the man, to be sure. They are the machine, and they will squeeze and squish you and intimidate you if you try to act alone. And you're trying to get your medical bills paid for. You're trying to go see the doctor. Some of you will be intimidated to even go if you don't have insurance or if you think it's going to be too expensive. You try to tough it out and not go after you've been injured at the workplace or injured out on the roadway or in the water or wherever it is. I mean, John Daspit will make – when you call him, he'll make sure you get to the doctor. He'll make sure you get seen. He'll make sure you get all the tests that you need, the physical therapy, the surgeries, whatever needs to happen for you to get – to get fixed. Your money that you're going to lose from missing work, that's going to be accounted for, John Daspit. Your pain and suffering is going to be accounted for. John Daspit is going to win for you and make sure that he passionately pursues justice for the injured. He's got a phenomenal win rate, and around the city of Houston, he's known as the best, as the very best. And that's John Daspit. The phone number is 713. Call now or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I did not hear Jay Feely say this. He talked about how surprising the Texans giving up those long passes were because they've been so good against them all year long.
Yeah.
Wow. Jay, you're missing a good season.
Yeah. Texans lead the league in touchdowns against, by the way. This is what I'm talking about. DeMeco gets a free pass. 24 touchdowns against is worst in football, followed by the Jaguars with 23, the Ravens with 22, the Panthers with 21, the Falcons with 21. And then you go to some teams with 20.
Overall touchdowns or pass touchdowns?
Passing touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, that was not just Feely. It was talked about across all those guys about how good they've been defending explosive deep balls. I'm like, well, a lot of them are incomplete. Maybe you're not watching the games because the guys are open. For the most part, half of the time, they weren't being hit.
Well,
we saw what happens when a guy actually gets a chance to complete something.
Would you say the Jets are a good team or a bad team?
But they've completed a lot, too.
I don't know where that number came from, but it wasn't just a Jay Feely thing.
Well, they've given up more passing touchdowns than anybody else in the league, so I guess they're coming from somewhere.
Some producer put that thing in their ear because...
Well, because they lead the league in interceptions by a lot. I think they're just – we have a lot of sacks. They're pass pro. John, you went down to pass pro numbers, the stats last week about how good they actually are against the pass, how good they are defensively. But they're actually not. Like, it's tricky because they're stats that make them look good, and yet they give up a crap ton of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, they do. Their average depth, the average depth of target, they are second in the league, second worst, the Jets at 10.5, and the Browns and Texans at 10.3. Now, their yards per reception actually is, I mean, it's not great. It's their fifth worst, 11.9 yards per reception. The worst is the Cowboys, followed by the Browns, followed by the Bears, then the Rams, and then the Texans. But I'm looking for explosive plays. I'm going to find explosive plays and give you, here's 15-plus. 15-plus plays, the Texans aren't even in the worst 15-plus play percentage. Let me look for that. Yeah, the Texans aren't even – this is so strange. The Texans –
Maybe, like Dell said, they've missed a lot of them.
Explosive,
too.
Yeah, that's some of it. But, look, they're the third-best team in the league when it comes to explosive pass plays over 15 yards. They've only given up 11.1%.
That's what they were talking about.
And then the Bears are – that's what it looks like. It's just it's a funky. Some of the data makes them look really good, but then touchdowns. How do you get away from that? How do you get away from the long touchdowns they have given up? Like I don't know. It's a weird dichotomy of in some ways the defense can be really good, and in other ways that lead to scoreboard issues, they're bad. Like yeah. they can't stop. You had how many throws, John? You had. Two long touchdown passes. You had one, two. You had You had the long pass to Ridley that didn't end up a touchdown.
No.
Then you had the
60. You had 70, and you had a 38.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Mighty.
I mean, I guess three isn't a lot. I guess it's not
in a game. Those types of numbers, but they're not just 15 to 20 yard explosives.
No.
We're talking field stretching, game changing plays. So yeah. Three is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, especially when they're touchdowns.
And then,
yeah.
And then, how about Kaimi breaking Tennessee's streak of 100% of red zone opportunities were scored. 100%.
Hadn't gotten
the
stopped
Titans
all year.
Had not stopped anyone in the red zone all year.
Streak busters.
And then Kaimi goes and pulls that kick. And oh, by the way, that is something you can't. What has happened to him? I mean, he pulled one and hit the in a couple of weeks ago and missed, and now he pulled another one in the game situation.
The Jets is the one he shanked, right? That one you're talking about?
Yes.
The short one, yes.
The short one he shanked against the Jets, and then he shanks this one. And, I mean, the snap looked fine. The other one, the snap went great. This time the snap and the hold looked fine.
Well, no, the long one was a bad snap. He missed a short one against.
I'm talking
the
about
Jets.
The short one was the, everything yeah. looked fine.
That was fine. That was fine.
And Jay Feely, of all people, should be able to tell us if he, you know, if
he
there
said
was something.
He just took it for granted. He just took the kick for granted. I don't know. I guess. I told you I was going to tell you a stat. Jalen Milroe. This year against SEC teams.
Oh.
After that first half against Georgia where he ran wild,
yep.
Here's what Jalen Milroe has done this year. Vanderbilt, he had 7 carries for 10 yards. South Carolina, 18 carries for 36. Tennessee, 14 carries for 11. Missouri, 11 carries for 50. LSU, 12 for 185. Oklahoma, 15 carries, 7 yards. So, the only team, by the way, LSU, you just suck at stopping a running quarterback.
The two teams, Georgia and LSU.
Are the only two.
Were two of the biggest
and
games.
And the second half, yeah. they shut them down. Second half, Georgia shut them down. LSU, not so much. But that is, if he can't run, guess what? They're either not going to win or they're going to struggle mightily. And other teams have figured it out. They figured Jalen Milroe out. I don't think he's a first rounder anymore.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
He never was.
Well,
not going to be. He never was. Lines. He doesn't throw well. He fooled people. It's a bad quarterback draft. Thank God I've got my quarterback here in Houston. I'm not worried about mine. My guy's just, you know what? Jose Altuve was 0 for 27 one time. You know, and is he going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Maybe. He should be, but you may try to have people keep him out because he was wearing buzzers, apparently. That's what Carlos Beltran's niece on Twitter told somebody who wasn't actually his niece. He's just some dude who likes to touch himself in his basement with Cheeto fingers. So, yeah, my guy Jose Altuve struggled at one point, and he was fine. My guy C.J. Stroud's going to be fine, and soon enough I'll be calling other people poverty quarterbacks and poverty teams.
C.J. Stroud, your guy? I thought he was RG3.
No, John said that, and that's not a good comparison anyway. RG3 ran way better.
C.J. was running yesterday again, though.
For his life.
He did have a couple of runs yesterday.
Hey, how many? Where do you think the Texans? So one of the things that stops big plays from happening, John, is the cover two look, right? The two high safety look.
Yep.
The safety shell, the shell coverages, cover four.
We don't do that. We put our safeties on the slot receiver.
Well, the Texans, you know, you say that, but it's actually true. The Texans have run cover two 5% of the time. It's the third lowest. The Eagles don't run it really at all. They've had 4 snaps like that. The Jets are next. They've had 7 snaps at 1%. Then come the Texans. They don't run too high safeties, and it shows with 24 touchdowns, including a lot of long ones. They do run some cover, the cover three, which is, you know, the single high and the two corners playing off and shuffle coverage. They'll do that actually more than most teams. They do some of that. And the quarters coverage, they'll run some quarters coverage. But, in terms of – I'm looking at two. Man, I'm looking at all the different coverages they run. And they really – they just are not really all about trying to keep someone back there to prevent big things from happening.
No.
And it speaks to – look, D'Amico wants to attack. He wants an attacking – but at some point, you're going to have to maybe, as you're sitting there – in one of your meetings, say, you know what? Let's make an adjustment. Let's start showing some. Now, Jimmy Ward is not an ideal cover two corner or safety.
No, but Bullock is.
Bullock is, yeah. Well, you can go Bullock. Then you're basically talking about going Bullock, Eric Murray, and then sitting Jimmy Ward.
No.
Well, who are you going to play?
And Jimmy Ward can be your strong safety, and Bullock can be your deep.
I want a cover. I want two safeties with range. Jimmy Ward's not that guy.
Well, then,
that's
it's
my point.
Be Eric Murray. Then
yeah, that's
Eric
my
Murray.
Point. Is
yeah, because I'm sick of Eric Murray guarding guys, their best receiver in the slot. I'm sick of that.
Well, you could get Jimmy Ward doing it then, like you did yesterday. Do you like that better?
No.
Well, then D'Amico, change it up so you're not so easy to scheme against.
Well, you lost.
You're getting schemed into wide receiver one versus safety two. I mean, your worst cover options playing wide receiver one more than once. Like, it's no good. It's no good. It happened when Bill O'Brien was here, too. It's not like it's, you know,
I mean, remember when Eric Murray was on, or Justin Reed? It was always Eric Murray. Did the Texans lead the league over the last 3 years on safeties covering top wide receiver options?
Yes.
Why is it always happening where it's Justin Reed or Eric Murray or Jimmy Ward covering wide receiver ones? That doesn't. Like, why is this happening?
Uh-huh.
If I'm an offensive coordinator, I love, like, oh, this is so good. We're going to mismatch the Texans here. And before you know it, we'll have a 71-yard passing
man,
touchdown.
And, you know, as hard as I've been on Jalen Petrie, you know, he misses a lot of tackles, but he's flying all over the field. He's having a better year this year,
yeah.
Much better year than he has, than last year for sure. Boy, they're going to miss him if this shoulder is going to be any amount of time. And once again, it's one of his own guys that did it. Holy crap, they fly and they just fly out of control.
Wait, who was it that did it this time?
The Toa Toa got him.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, holy crap. It just is, I mean, they're killing each other. They're killing us, Whitey. All right, time for you to talk a little Taqueria Aranda, Lance.
Yeah, let's talk about, I want to tell you about the breakfast option today. You can go to to any of the websites, as a matter of fact, at Taqueria Sarandas. You can go to any one of the locations near you, or just go to TaqueriaSarandas.com and go to the menu. I want you to take a look at the menu. And I want to talk about your breakfast this morning. Have you had breakfast yet? Are you hungry? Are you getting ready to go out? Are you headed into work? Why don't you stop by and get one of their breakfast tacos, like the egg a la Mexicana breakfast taco, or the chorizo and egg, the bacon and egg. You're looking for non-spicy sausage because you got a sensitive mouth, then a non-spicy sausage and egg. They've got spicy sausage and egg for real people, potato and chorizo. They've got it all, bean and cheese, the machado. There's so many different breakfast tacos to choose from, but it doesn't stop there. If you really want to go in, grab the chilaquiles, the breakfast plate, which is also served with refried beans and tortillas, and oh my gosh, I love that dish. The desayuno completo, two eggs, two pancakes, bacon, ham. This is your spot for not just your lunches, not just your dinners, but also for a great breakfast, a heavier breakfast, or just breakfast tacos on the go. Make sure you stop in at Taqueria Sarandas. Locations all over the city of Houston. Stop in there and grab yourself some sabor. Let that flavor sink into you with Taqueria Sarandas.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Did you guys see the video of the kid? He walks in and the caption says, CJ Stroud surprised fan at his house after loss to Titans. So wholesome.
I saw it.
The kid walks in the door, puts his keys up, and turns around and he... CJ's here, and then the camera pans, and it's a garbage can.
Oh, my God.
The kid was in a Stroud jersey, by the way.
He was in a CJ Stroud jersey,
Okay, we cannot turn on. If that's a different fan base, then all's fair in love and war. But come on now, we can't be turning on our guys this easy. Like, it's one thing to be upset or to call out certain things you see. Don't be doing content. Don't be creating content with CJ as a trash can. You should be arrested for that.
Well.
That's not people who throw up the H. Don't do that.
No. It is ship talk, though.
By the way, I got into it a little bit with some random guy on Twitter. I made some comment about the Rockets, or maybe it was Auburn LSU. I think it was the Rockets. And this guy goes, yeah, too bad we got a sideline reporter that loves Reggie Miller, loves the Colts. I'm like, what is this? And it's like, oh, yeah, Vanessa's from Indianapolis. She works for the Rockets, works her ass off, is a big fan of everything in Houston, is a leftover Colts fan because that's who she grew up with, which is cool. I don't care. Who cares? And this guy's – and I'm thinking, well, this is weird that he sent this to me on my timeline. Like, responding – it really wasn't apropos of anything. And then I went to his timeline and noticed he's doing this with everybody in the Rockets. Like, he wants to somehow get her banished and try to shame her. Because one time she said she liked Reggie Miller. Like, she liked the post that said Reggie Miller was the greatest, and she liked it. And this guy screenshot it. And it was, like, super weird behavior. And then he started, like, he was hitting
he started saying all these things like, I'm 10 toes down for Houston. Bury me in the H. Like, all the corniest, I stand on business. I was, I'm with this. I'm put on for my city. Like, oh, my God, dude. What are you doing? Stop embarrassing yourself. And then he was just torment, going after, like, trying to tear her down and get her fired. It was horrible. And I'm just thinking, why am I dealing with this on a Saturday? I'm trying to watch the Aggies lose a game because they literally drop a two-point conversion. That was a hell of a game. Auburn A&M was a hell of a game. That was some
great
suspicious
game. How did they start? How did Mike Elko not have them ready at the start of the game?
I don't know. Auburn jumped them. 21-0. Great job by the Aggs. Aggs outscored them 31-7 at one point.
But they're still – how about this? Okay. You know, we talked about the playoff and all this stuff, and you know, well, it's all broken and everything else. Listen to the – it's rivalry week. Every one of these games can have a huge impact on the college football playoff. They all mean something. Mississippi State at Ole Miss, Georgia Tech at Georgia, Tennessee at Vanderbilt, South Carolina at Clemson, Miami at Syracuse, Notre Dame at USC, Cal at SMU, Auburn at Alabama, Indiana at Purdue, Oregon State at Boise State, Memphis at Tulane, UTSA at Army, Texas A&M and Texas, Oklahoma State at Colorado. All of these games are playing into Houston at BYU. All these games are playing Arizona State at Arizona. They're all playing into a bit. This is all big for all of these teams that they have to win if they're even going to be considered.
Because there was so much
have an outside chance.
There was so well before when you didn't have as many teams. Like if this wasn't 12 team, right now we'd be looking at Ohio State. The argument would be, man, is Ohio State,
Michigan? I didn't even mention that.
Yeah, is Ohio State or Oregon going to drop out? If this was the 14 playoffs, it'd look like Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and I don't know whoever, maybe Notre Dame. Yeah. I don't know, because the SEC right now doesn't really look like they deserve it other than Texas. But that would be the argument. Now that you're in 12, there's all this, like, yeah, and it's been chaos inside the 12. This weekend had a fair amount of chaos. I don't know if you saw. I mean, Colorado was sitting there in a great – they had a great opportunity, and they got their asses kicked. They got belt to ass is what they got put on them. And then you have BYU. BYU had to come back, but Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham slapped them around. And, John, you referenced it. They had to finish the game. They had like a 16-minute delay. It was the strangest. I don't even want to get into too – it would almost take too long, but they couldn't figure out how to kill off the clock. They could have had a chance to score a touchdown earlier and didn't do it.
Oh, my God. It was terrible.
It's just terrible. Like, these teams getting too slick with, well, let's find ways to – if you got a chance to score, go score.
That's two things about that. Now, first of all, I could see him throwing the ball up in the air.
You're talking about the last play. There was
very last play.
So there were 7 seconds left.
I don't mind that play at all.
It's fourth down, and you're at about midfield.
And you're at about midfield. After you took a sack, you ran backwards, and then you ran backwards again and decided they were inside the 10-yard line with the first and goal, and they run backwards. And instead of killing, and so here's another thing. The referee should have called intentional grounding on that. He's inside the pocket, and he threw a ball into the stands. Mm-hmm. He intentionally grounded that ball inside the pocket. That should have been a penalty. They should have gotten the ball at about the 35-yard line. That's how bad Dillingham messed this thing up. And instead, if he had thrown the ball in the field of play, I could see it.
What are we talking about? Snap it and punt it. No punts never get blocked. You can take a one-step punt instead of a two-step punt.
Right.
Literally one step and punt it. Why are we acting like punts are all going to get blocked? You could have You could have ended up 2 yards deeper, grabbed it, punted it with one step, and the game's over.
Yeah.
Like this. Well, okay, let's roll out. Let's run backwards. Then we'll throw it as high as we can into the air. Or snap, punt, game over.
Right,
it's that simple.
It's it was just awful, Dillingham. I mean, and did you see how pissed he was at the refs? This bleeping game is over. This bleeping game is over.
No, it wasn't, Kenny.
No, it wasn't.
So if you miss it, so the fans rushed the field. It took 16 minutes to get the fans off. And remember,
They're not even going back into the stands. They jammed them into the tunnel and basically onto the sideline. I mean, into the back end zone, because the ball went the other way. BYU now had a chance to throw. BYU had a chance to throw a Hail Mary, which did they complete? I thought it was complete. Somebody else
it was
said incomplete,
completed.
But it was complete at the 2 yard line. They just couldn't get enough on the ball. It would have been the wildest. As I was watching this, and I actually tweeted this, I said, this has a chance to be the wildest inning in the history of college football, taking over for Stanford and Cal, which my daughter said, what happened to Stanford and Cal? So after the game, we went on YouTube. I showed her that. Then I showed her the Flutie miracle, and then the Cordell Stewart miracle pass showed up.
Well, not only that, but, you know, I don't know why they never call pass interference on a Hail Mary,
right?
But they definitely interfered with that receiver, and he still caught the ball. And so if they don't, that's another 15. If they call it, it's another 15 yards closer that they could have had just a regular pass into the end zone. I mean, Tillingham really screwed that up.
He really did. Like he, and I get you don't have that situation very often, but this trying to figure out how to kill off time instead of how to make favorable plays, just really you got they're gonna have to really be.
You know who did it well was Penn State, and
oh yeah.
And he just the tight end. What's his
Tyler
name?
Warren.
Warren just took a dive at the 2 yard line, and sat down and let the clock expire instead of going into the end zone and giving them a chance. And,
well, they had to complete a couple of fourth downs.
I think four.
Yeah,
four fourth downs.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a good week. See, I thought it was a good week in college football, an interesting week. But now, you know, I've been preaching. I thought that Auburn was a dangerous game. I don't care how bad they are. This is how the SEC works. You get in a hornet's nest. And I said last week, I bet Auburn beats A&M, and A&M is going to beat Texas. And I firmly believe that's going to happen. Texas stunk this weekend. All the fumbles. Quinn Ewers is hurt right now, which I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or bad thing for the Longhorns. But, you know, Texas did not look sharp at all against Kentucky. They could have cruised in with the win against a Kentucky team that's not playing very well. But, I mean, this game is going to be electric between Texas and Texas A&M. I really wish I was going, because this is really going to be an electric game. If Texas loses, but I had a friend of mine who you also know said, would it make more sense for Texas to just lose this game to the Aggies so they don't have to play Georgia in the SEC championship game, don't get beat up, and then they catch Indiana in the first round? And I'm like, no, you can't lose against the Aggies.
If they lost against the Aggies, would they drop low enough, considering what their schedule has been, to not have a home game in the first round?
Yeah.
Because that would be the concern. Like, if you're going to lose the game, and then you're the now you're not even the SEC runner up. You're the third team because you don't make the title game. Are you going to be gifted a home game, or do you have to go to some northern place in the cold?
That would be a possibility. They could fall away.
You can't lose that game. That means too much. It means too much to fans. You can't lose it. But the fact that we're already having these conversations, like, I don't care what any SEC honks like. Our boy Josh Pate says, or what Feinbaum says, I'm sorry, you have to keep Indiana in. You can't be passing them up with three loss SEC teams.
Well, Josh last night on his show said because of what happened, Indiana should get in. And
oh, he did? Okay.
Yes, and we just talked Texas and Texas A&M, and that rivalry is renewed on November 30th as they face off. And stay tuned to ESPN 975 and 925 for extensive coverage of that historic game presented by Rebecca Creek Distillery. You'll hear interviews with guests from both sides and spirited conversation, as you just heard. Also, you can connect to our coverage on ESPN Houston YouTube channel and social media. Enjoy Rebecca Creek Whiskey, Enchanted Rock Vodka, and Texas Ranger Whiskey to celebrate the rivalry's return. Gig 'em and hook 'em.
Steve McKinney tomorrow at 8 a.m. And we got Vince and
Selvin
Vince
Young.
And Selvin, right?
Yeah, 9:15.
Wednesday or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Boy, so we got a lot of talk. We got Aggie side. We got Longhorn side. We got ship talk coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we got Gulf Coast Chevy.
Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, I might mention. And let me talk about the Buick side for a second, because I am going to – it looks like I'm going to go from the Chevy Traverse, which I love Traverses. But I may be getting a Buick Enclave now for my next lease, because the Buick Enclave, same, you know, general body type
as the Chevy Traverse in terms of the carrying space and cargo load and all that. But it's got a new, even sportier design, and the Buick Enclave is one of the smoothest rides I've ever had. I had it as a loaner car a couple of years ago, and I was blown away how nice the interior is, how comfortable it is, and really the way it handled. Those were things that, stood out to me. The Buick the Equinox is another one that people absolutely love. The Enclave is what I'm going to drive. The Envision is one that my son drives, and it's his first car. It's his first car by himself. He got the and he keeps it really clean. I'm very happy about that. He takes good care of it, and that car takes care of him. He told me this was he's so happy he made this decision to go with the Envision. And you can make whatever decision you want for your family. Maybe you're buying the first car for a son or daughter. Maybe you're looking for a second car for your home. Maybe you're looking to downgrade into something smaller or upgrade into something larger. But Buick has vehicles for you that are going to make a lot of sense. So if you haven't thought about them before, go to the website, GulfCoastChevyBuickGMC.com, and take a look at all the vehicles they have in stock. Whether it's a lease, a purchase, you're going to find a vehicle that's right for you. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
After kicking ass on Friday, boy, did the Rockets look like crap on Saturday. I'm like, you guys are reading your press clippings. I don't think that was it, though. But although they weren't the Rockets, you know how many offensive rebounds they gave up? 16. Mm-hmm. They're best in the league at giving up the fewest offensive rebounds. And they gave up 16. They lost the rebounding battle. I know he's big, but Klingon, really? 19 rebounds?
Yeah,
really?
Before he got hurt.
Yeah, 19 and then
they were
rebounds.
Then they were going to Alperen. Guys, can we finally admit that something like Alperen has no lift this year? This is a guy who would sneaky dunk on people left and right his first 2 years. This man's getting his shot blocked by everybody this year.
You didn't like Denny Avia putting the ball back in his face?
Right there. And like they kept going to, all right, we're going to our big man. They don't have Klingon in the shot blocker. And Alpi can't get shots off against these guys. I don't know what has happened. He's totally grounded now. He's got no lift. And yet Albion just, right, a little, he tried to shoot a fadeaway, and it couldn't even leave his hands. And I'm just thinking, what has happened with this? Like, has he gotten much heavier to wear, like, just muscle? I don't know. People aren't going for his fakes anymore, and he's had more shots blocked this year than I think I've ever seen him have.
How about, but the only guy that showed up offensive, well, two guys, Amen.
Well, he did have, Alperen also had some points in that game.
He had 22 points, but he on 7 of 17 shooting, 8 of 11 from the free throw line. He's getting to the line, he's getting fouled. But Reed Shepard showed up in 11 minutes. He's got 2 threes. He's got 8 points. He's just 11 minutes. Tari Eason, 0 for 7. Jalen Green, 3 for 14. Fred VanVleet, 4 for 13. Jabari Smith, 3 for 10. What the hell? Kind of 35% from the field, 25% from three. And giving up offensive rebounds on top of it. What the hell? I mean, were they reading their press clippings? They must have been feeling good about themselves after Friday, and boy, they should be feeling like crap after Saturday, because that was not the same team we've watched all year.
No.
Those two losses, that Portland loss and that Charlotte loss, if they don't, well, I think they're going to be at the top 16 for sure. I don't think they're going to be a play-in team, but those are games that you can't just throw away. And they threw away too many games last year. And here they are throwing away a couple of games already this year.
I will say, you know, I like to let things play out. But now that we're this deep in the season, not super deep. What are we, 13 games in? But
18.
It's 18. Holy crap, yeah, 18 games in. I mean, Fred VanVleet shooting 39% from the floor and Jalen shooting 38% from the floor. Your backcourt is shooting a combined 39% from the floor. Period.
Not from three,
just from the floor in general. That is a problem because they're also high-volume shooters. And you can overcome it because you're a great rebounding team. You get great energy. You get second possessions because of your rebounds. You limit second possessions because of your rebounds. You have guys who get high steal, you know, high steal numbers with Amen and Tari. If you didn't have Amen and Tari, you'd be cooked right now.
You would be a bad basketball team if you didn't have those two. Jalen, Landale, and Jabari for Giannis. Done. I did it.
Oh, how brave of you.
Yeah, I did it.
Did you just say Jalen Green, Landale, and Jabari?
They need a center.
Who?
The Bucks. If they get rid of Giannis.
Oh, they got Landon? I mean, they got Landale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got their center.
That's it.
They would never do that.
Oh, those twin towers, him and Brooke Lopez?
Set the city on fire if you do that in Milwaukee for that kind of. How about this? Amen, Jabari, and Alperen.
Done. No.
Alperen. Oh, you don't like that so much. Like I heard what they would ask for.
I don't know if you heard. Amen's not. They're not trading him.
Good.
Off the board.
Should be untouchable.
Yeah. Off the board.
Should be untouchable. You ain't trading for. Unless you're willing to be in excruciating pain with the trade, you ain't getting Giannis. It's not happening. There's other teams that want Giannis that will give up what they have to. The Rockets aren't going to. The Rockets have an unusual affinity for young players where they just don't want to, like, they have a love affair with Kevin Porter Jr. They've had a love affair. They get love affairs with players, and they are not letting. They're not letting any of these guys go. Now,
well,
I'm
glad that they have a love affair with these guys.
Yeah, with certain
the other guys, not so much.
You should always be willing to listen and have a feel. But yeah, I think Rafael Stone really has emotional attachments to some of these guys because he's watching them come up. And at some point, you're going to have to figure out who the winners are on the team and who the guys who are going to help you win and who are commodities that you can maybe move for a different type of player that can help you win. And I think
what
some
happened
of that is Ime can help you with that.
What happened to ship talk, though?
Every time you say it, you go to something else. That's what happens to it.
Well, then let's do it on the other side. Underdog right now.
Underdog Fantasy. So our boy Dream Shake just jumped back into the Underdog space. He said, hey, I used to play with this other company. I've had an Underdog account, what's the, you know, on the rebounds and points and assists? And he was talking about it. He had a stat question. And I said, yeah, your points, rebounds, and assists are all count as individual. So if you get 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, that would be 40 total points. And so he jumped in there and immediately won his first cash pick'em that he had three players. He played higher, lower, if I remember correctly, in basketball with a 20% profit boost. I mean, listen, Underdog has profit boosts available. You make more money. They have the ability for you to make money on discounted stats where the stats will be much lower for a player. Well, you just play it higher. You've got a better chance to win. They've got free picks where they make it 0.5 on something like, you know, shot attempts. Well, that's an easy win. In football, it will be 0.5 rushing yards maybe. That's an easy win. This is all available through Underdog Fantasy. Download the app and use promo code Lance. And with promo code Lance, you're going to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. That's how easy it is. This is a great chance for you to start off by winning some money with Underdog Fantasy. Use your skill. Use your knowledge of sports. You're going to watch these games anyway. Why don't you play along going higher or lower on the stats that they have listed? And they have sometimes they have as many as 17 stat categories available for certain players. So you can find something in there that you absolutely think is soft and go against it. Go higher or lower. It's Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with concentrates. Find it now at TraceMinerals.com.